are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Despite differing religious beliefs, interfaith couples can find common value and create shared faith practices that honor both traditions. Building these shared practices can strengthen their relationship and provide a unified approach to spirituality. This discussion with our elder, Elder Katundu, will focus on how couples can identify and build on shared values to create meaningful and meaningful faith practices. Elder Katundu, Pastor, how are you? Pastor Katundu?
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you now. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. You are sounding far, though.
How about now?
It's a little better. Yes, Pastor.
Yes, how are you?
Yes, I'm fine. It's a little bit crackling. Are you using headphones?
How is it now?
Better.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much. I'm going to ask that, can you please pray before we start?
All right, shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Father, we thank you for the time you have given unto us that we discuss this important topic. Our desire is that we may be able to establish meaningful and practical applications to these problems that are facing interfaith marriages, and may they be able to help us as they help others that are already in these situations. Our desire is for your will to be done at the end of everything. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much for that prayer, my pastor. We have been speaking about all things, you know, interfaith marriages. We've spoken about the issues of children, the issues of the society and everything else. And today we want to look at the issues of finding, you know, common ground. Looking at these two people, you know, that are married, what are some common values, Mfundisi, that often bridge the differences within these religions?
Yes, it has been a very crucial lesson as we are discussing, if you can relate.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of gray areas to it, a lot of situations, a lot of views which couldn't give a yes and no situation because mm-hmm. of the dynamics associated to it. So some of the few common values that we can point out which are shared in various faiths are the issues of love and compassion. Most of the religions, if not all, they talk about the issue of love and compassion. So if an interfaith marriage couple focuses on love and compassion, there can be a balance in the family, and also the aspect of justice and fairness. So if justice and fairness is exercised in this household based on the ground rules and how they desire to run their family,
mm-hmm.
that can also be a shared value. The element of gratitude and also humility can also be a common value that can bridge the two. Because if people show humility and they show gratitude, similar virtues that could be passed on from parents. Let's say one from an Adventist background and the other from a Pentecostal or ZCC kind of background. These can be passed on into their children. Yes. Yeah.
So how can couples now focus and identify, you know, their shared beliefs and values in order to build a common spiritual foundation?
Yes. One of the most interesting things that has been going on, that has been spoken about since the inception of this of this discussion to its close today is the element of dialogue and open. People should talk things out. So the easiest way to identify and focus on these shared beliefs and values is that there has to be an engagement in open dialogue where people have where the couple or the family gets to have regular discussions on each other's values and beliefs or the religious experiences. So when this is done, the main essence should be highlighting on the moral principles which could be applied to their situation, basing on the theological with a view in mind of the theological differences that each couple could have or face. So as we are involved in this open dialogue, there should be an element of focusing on the shared moral principles, as opposed to first concentrating much on the differences that which could exist among the couple. And also respecting the differences while embracing the similarities. No matter how different or far apart people could be, I think there's one or two things that they could all share in common. The very thing they could share in common should be emphasized, and the things that which bring about differences should be less emphasized. Although it's tricky, as we indicated previously to say, it depends on the couples and the kind of people they are and the kind of pair they are in terms of their religious backgrounds. Then the other element would be the issue of exploring joint spiritual goals. So as a couple, they must come up with spiritual goals that are going to join the family in one way or the other, that will not hinge so much on the differences, but will be centered mainly on the similarities. Again, I emphasize it depends on the kind of couple they are, the kind of people they are, whether conservative, liberal, and whether they are open-minded or they are ready to go this direction. And also, the kind of religions at play, because you may have a situation where there's an Adventist and the other one is an idol worshiper, and there are those challenges. Although I've never heard of an Adventist being with an idol worshiper, but in case they are in a situation as this, we're talking about them now coming up with an element of exploring on the shared, on the joint spiritual goals that could help them to have these shared values as we are saying.
So looking at some examples, Mfundiswami, of shared practices, you know, what are those examples, you know, that can be meaningful for interfaith couples? You know, the examples you're using now, a Sabbath keeper and an idol worshiper, could they have, you know, shared faith practices that they could use?
Okay, so the common shared faith practices could include joint prayers. Couples can develop a shared practice of mindfulness or prayer that draws both faiths. For instance, in many Adventist homes, you find an element of Vespers or family altars, where the family gets to gather together and share scriptures, they get to pray together. Some families actually exercise this in the morning. They will have prayers before any other activity is done, and others before they retire to bed at night. So the element of having joint prayers could unite the family, ensure that there's this element of shared faith and practices. Then there are other holidays together. The common holidays that we know about, there's Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and the like. So if the family gets to celebrate these together, it shows some commonness and unity. Then the common thing that that is done in many religions is the element of charity work or charity service. So if a couple gets to engage in works of charity, whether they've got differing views, it's something that they could all participate in and at least do something together. Mm-hmm. Then for some houses, there are some places of prayer that are, there are some rooms that have been designated of prayers where people just go and pray in that room. So if a sacred space is created in that household, that would be also be a unifying factor of these religions at play. Although, as I indicated earlier, it depends on the religions that are at play, especially as we are dealing with these people that are married. Because one would allow worship or praying in a certain way and the other wouldn't, because of the orientation and its makeup.
Mm-hmm. So looking at Mfundisi, that, you know, these two people, they have different traditions, right, based on their interfaith marriages. How can they now, you know, create new traditions that reflect their combined values and beliefs? When we're looking at them, we are not seeing, for example, an Adventist, we are not seeing maybe a worship, an idol worshiper, we're not seeing maybe a Sunday worship keeper, you understand, but we are seeing their oneness.
Okay, so on this one, before I suggest for interventions that could be done, I would suggest or request for a survey to be conducted.
Okay.
A survey can help because when you do a survey of various families that are in this, the real life situations and the practicality of what they undergo would be seen. And once that has been done, that would help to especially advise people that that are in such kind of marriage relationships. So, but for what we have, based on the little information I may have, though I would like for a survey to be conducted, the first thing that will be done is creating family rituals.
Okay.
That is because when people decide to start a family, they agree on the do's and don'ts and how they want everything to be like. So where religion is concerned, they must create family rituals that will include how things are how religion is to be practiced in that house. It includes the ceremonies, prayers, and just the perspective of religion that is to be developed. Then they should also design joint worship experiences, which will ensure that aspects of this religion and the other religion are put together in a manner that would be blended. Of course, this is with the caution of it depending on the kind of religions at play we are talking about, because some would permit for that and others wouldn't at all. So already the practicality, this element would, we need to see, for us to see this element, I think a survey would help.
Okay.
So that when we get the real life experiences of these people and how they've been able to go through it, we are able to see how best we can suggest for how they can be helped.
So, Mpundiswami, as we wrap up here, how can, you know, the issues of mutual respect and compromise that we dwelt on yesterday, you know, play in terms of developing those shared practices? And can those couples continue to nurture their shared faith practices over time and adjust where necessary?
Okay. To answer your question, the best way I would say is people must accept that there are differences that they have among themselves. When they accept now, they should come to a point of respecting those differences and see how best they can fit into the picture, so that at the end of the day, there's a balance. Although we indicated to say the element of compromise is good, but again, you may end up compromising on what you're not supposed to compromise on. So it's tricky on this one. So at the end of the day, in all that you are doing in respecting and finding a balance, there should be an element also of supporting each other's growth, so that at the end of the day, no religion is suppressed, all religions are at play. Although I have never seen this happen, I would really love for a survey to be done so that we can see how this thing, how the practicality of this can be can be brought out.
Mfundisi, so we've spoken throughout the whole week. If anyone were to come and listen, was listening today only, what would you want them to know about interfaith marriages, the children, everything that we've discussed? If you can sum it up for us in like 2 minutes, and then after that, please do offer a word of prayer.
First and foremost, what I would say is this. It was never God's intention for interfaith marriages.
Mm.
Interfaith marriages have brought a lot of suppression of people's values. And in many instances, they've brought more harm than good, leading to the separation of families and also divorce in some instances. So if somebody is treading upon going this direction of interfaith marriages, they should know that it was never God's intention. And there are a lot of complications that could be associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
So if people really want to pursue this direction, then there has to be honesty and openness in discussing how everything should be done, especially before marriage, so that ground rules are set and people agree to adhere to those. From onset, all the way until life shall sustain them. And they should also agree on how they will raise their children, and they should ensure that they respect each other's beliefs and values so that at the end of the day, all the religions that are involved are at play and none is suppressed. Then, in a nutshell, if there's somebody who is still thinking to say, no, they want to get married, but somebody is, as long as they see that they may not manage to either adjust on their belief system and the like, I wouldn't advise them to go that direction because it may bring a lot of confusion in their lives. Then, I would say a lot, but people should know that it was never God's intentions for people to be involved in this. And if people are going to be involved in interfaith marriages, they are up for a lot of differences and a lot of perspectives that are complicated, and that could even bring separations because of differing views that are existing on the same. Furthermore, to those that are in interfaith marriages, I would encourage them to be honest with each other and to be flexible and to be open enough so that ground rules are set and they see how best their households are going to be like. With these few words I've mentioned, I think we can wrap up with a prayer. Unless if you have
yes,
a question.
Please. No, I'm sorted, Mfundisi.
Oh, okay. We are praying. Our gracious and loving Father, we thank you for the lesson that which we had and the discussion on interfaith marriages. Indeed, it is a complex topic, and we know that from inception, it was never your desire that things should be this way. For those that have been in these situations, our desire is that you may see how best you can help them, whisper to them solutions that are going to better their situation. Enable us, Heavenly Father, also to encourage our friends to tread this path rightly so that they may not end up being sad for the rest of their lives. Continue ministering to us and even open more doors so that people should have a full understanding of what your will is. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. Thank you for coming throughout the whole week. May you have your whole blessed Sabbath.
Have a blessed Sabbath too. Thank you.
Amen.
All right.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.